Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Mark chapter 4, and then we're going to Proverbs chapter 3. Mark chapter 4, and then Proverbs chapter 3. And today we're going to finish our series entitled On Track. We've been addressing this thought that while there's a lot of paths that we can take, a lot of direction, not just major directions, major paths, major decisions, but on a day-to-day basis, there's lots of choices that we're faced with. And so as a child of God, what we want to do is we want to strive to be able to listen to God, to hear the voice of God on a daily basis. We want to be able to follow after God. And so the reason we want to follow His direction is because we know that He'll always lead us into growth. Even in hard times, God can use those to help us to grow. Following God's direction will give us opportunities not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. I'm sure this week that you have encountered both of those in your life where God blessed you in a certain way and you was able to be a blessing to someone else. But also the Lord will lead us into times of admonition and encouragement and yes, even correction. But that's okay because He wants us to grow in Him. Amen. And so He'll also ultimately, of course, the path that God leads us on will get us to heaven. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that this isn't all there is. I'm glad that the boss that we have right now isn't the boss that we're going to have forever. You know the old saying, this too shall pass? Isn't that an awesome thought? That this isn't all that there is. Hallelujah. But there's a heaven that's awaiting us beyond comprehension. And I don't know about you, but I want to get there and I want to get as many people as I can with me to come along on that trip. Amen. So God will lead us in those areas. So each day God is speaking to us. But here's what we have to do is we have to listen. Every so often Jill will say, did you hear me? And I have to be honest and say, I heard, but I wasn't listening. I heard something out there. And I don't mean this disrespectful. I'm just saying I did. I'm focused. I'm whatever I'm doing. I'm on Facebook. I mean, come on. So yeah, I heard something, but I wasn't listening. So God is speaking to us, but we have to listen. There again, it's not rocket science, and I don't claim to be a rocket scientist, but the foundational truth is this, is that if we're going to stay on track, we've got to listen to God's direction. So last week in Mark 4, we looked at some of those things that can make us spiritually hard of hearing, if you will, and cause us to miss God's direction. Jesus was talking and He shared a story. It's called the parable of the sower, where He talked about four specific types of soil. Soil along the path, rocky soil, thorny soil, and then good soil. And He explained to the disciples later on what this meant. And He said that the seed that the farmer was sowing is the word of God. But the busyness of life, He said the worries of life, not being rooted in God's word. He said the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things can literally choke out the Word of God in our lives, can literally make the Word of God not effective in our lives. And so our goal is to be good soil, the four type of soil that He talked about. So in Mark 4 and 20, here's what He said. Others are like seed that's sown on good soil. They hear the Word. In other words, they're listening. And they accept it, and it produces a crop in their life, 30, 60, even 100 times what has been sown. Tell me something. Is harvest important to the farmer? I mean, it sounds like maybe a silly question. Of course it's important to the farmer. But I want you to think about this. Harvest is so important to the farmer because it's how he provides for his family. It's how he provides a home, how he provides all of those things, a college education, whatever the case may be, braces and glasses and all of that stuff comes with it. Harvest is important because it provides for his family. So it's vitally important for the farmer to receive harvest. But it's also important for you and for me that the farmer receives his harvest. And here's why. Because vegetables don't grow in the produce department at the grocery store. I mean, that's where we get them from, but they don't originate there. The reason that those vegetables make it to our table and can nourish our family is because the seed was sown in good soil. Now, stop just for a minute. Think about that scenario and how important that farmer really is to us. I mean, listen to this. As vitally as important as food is to our natural man, how much more important is God's word to us, which is living and it's powerful. His word cleanses and sanctifies us. Do you know that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? I mean, knowing that God's word is all of this and so much more, how much more important is it for the seed that God gives to find good soil in our hearts? I'll tell you the difference and how important it is. It's the difference between our success and our failure. Bottom line. And so not only is it important for us, but in that same scenario as the farmer is important to us and his seed growing in good soil, producing a harvest. Not only is it beneficial for us, for God's word, to find good soil and produce a harvest in our lives, but it is also important for those whom God has called us to give part of our harvest to, for their nourishment, for their life, for their day to day. How many has ever had someone who has produced a harvest of patience in their life and has shown patience to you when you needed it most? What a blessing that was. How many has received the blessing of someone who has received the word of God concerning giving and it's produced a harvest of generosity in their lives? And when you needed it most, they were generous because they had a harvest that had been produced in them from a word God had given them concerning giving. And so when you came along and the need presented itself, they freely gave. Because God had placed them to help you to get to the next part in your journey. So it's vitally important, not just for us, but for those whom God has called us to minister to. So we need to be good soil, producing harvest in the earth for the kingdom of God. Jesus told us how to do it. He said in our text, he said, be good soil. And when that happens, it will produce in our heart a harvest of good for us and for others. And that happens when we listen to God's word. So last week we talked about some of the hindrances. Today I'd like to look at the how. How can I hear God's word? And I'm going to, there again, sometimes I have a perspective that maybe is different than others. Some call that unique, others call that other things that we're not going to mention. But the perspective may be unique, but if you'll hang with us, I believe that we'll get something from the word of God that there again will help us to grow. That'll help us through this afternoon. That'll help us through tomorrow. Amen. Because that's God and he is faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how can I hear God's word? I want to surround our teaching today on this simple thought, and that is to stop. To stop. Now, let's be honest. When you look at your to-do list, more than likely, as you're looking at that to-do list, your plan to get that to-do list done requires movement, not stillness. It's going to require you and I to do something. Most of the time, we equate progress with movement. So sometimes, because we're not doing something, we don't feel like we're accomplishing anything. But how many know that that isn't always the case? Have you ever seen someone that looked, they look busy all day. Every time you look at them, they're constant movement. Things are happening. But when it's all said and done, and when you look at what was accomplished, they didn't accomplish a stinking thing. Because all there was movement. There was no productivity. We're geared to move in our minds. It's common sense. And so that makes it sometimes hard to stop. What I want you to realize this morning, there again, this is in the context of our message, is that I'm not talking about stopping and doing nothing. I'm talking about trying a different approach. I've had several times in my life where I've been struggling with something, and someone has come up to me and they said, "Have you tried this?" What they're saying is, "Have you tried stopping what you're doing and trying something different?" And oftentimes, that has been the key to my success, is by listening to someone else and their wisdom concerning the matter. So I'm not talking about necessarily doing nothing. I'm talking about trying a different approach in your life. There again, what's the context? Good soil. So you in Proverbs chapter 3 yet? All right, the rest of you, hurry up. Proverbs chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments. Here's why we do that. Verse 2. For they will prolong your life many years. Now, I want you to understand that you can live out the rest of your life in prison, or you can live out the rest of your life free and enjoying family and friends and the good things that God has. So you can have a long life, but you can live it in a certain way. So he's not only just talking about quantity of years, but he's talking about quality of life. And so if we don't forget his teachings, but we keep his commands in our hearts, he said they will prolong our life many years. It'll make our lives worth living, and it'll bring us prosperity. He said, let love and faithfulness never leave you, but bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, plant them in the good soil of your heart. Then when you do that, you will win favor. How many loves favor? Amen. I tell you what, favor is a blessing from the Lord. You only need favor from one person at the right time in your life to change everything. And God will see to it that that happens if you follow after his precepts. Amen. And so he said, you'll find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And so here in verse 5, we find the first point that we're going to talk about today. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So when it comes to hearing God's word, the first thing we need to stop is the intimidation. Stop the intimidation. Now, what does that have to do with hearing God's word? Well, intimidation is to make someone timid or to make them fearful. It's to be bullied. Have you ever been bullied? If you've never been bullied, you're the bullier. Just saying. But no, you've been bullied. Most of us have been bullied. What happened in that moment, if you can remember back to when you were bullied, maybe it was in school or whatever the case may be, what happened more than likely was all of a sudden the adrenaline started to kick in and your heart started to beat, and maybe your jaw kind of tightened a little bit. Maybe your fists were clenched. And in that moment, here's what you had the choice of doing, is either to stand your ground or to find a quick exit. I remember Dad, he always said, fighting is hard on the face. So oftentimes I was the guy that was trying to just to find an exit. I'm not, that ain't worth it. Glasses are too expensive. I've been wearing glasses since I was 4, and I've broken a lot of them. I remember going to school with a big glob of glue, and a big tape around, trying to hold my glasses together till we could get till the new ones. You know what I'm talking about, right? I was that kid. Yes, I will admit it. So I've been wearing glasses a long time, and I've broken a lot. And so for me, it just didn't seem to make sense to have someone hitting me in the face just as hard as they could with their fist or whatever else was close enough to them. That just didn't make sense. So I was the guy that usually, found the exit. And so if you're like that, there again, we have it's kind of that common sense, but more than likely, we left because we were intimidated. We were made to feel less than the person we was confronting. So with that in mind, listen to what Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, they claim that there's few things more intimidating in the jungle than the roar of a lion. I've been at zoos, and I've seen it on TV, but I've never been in the middle of the we call it the pucker brush, out in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden hear the roar of a lion. Very intimidating. I'll tell you, why is that intimidating? Well, most everybody that lives in the jungle knows what that roar represents. It represents a killing machine. And if you get away by some chance, you're not going to leave unscathed after your encounter with the lion. More than likely, you've got some pretty serious wounds that you're going to have to contend with. And so when that lion roars, it can be very intimidating. So the Bible says that he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone that he can devour. So then Jesus comes along and he references Satan in John chapter 10. And here's what he says. He says that he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. So he verifies why sometimes that can be intimidating. But he doesn't stop there. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's what he goes on to say. He says, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Hallelujah. And so as we're going through life, we can hear a lot of roaring in our ears. We can hear a lot of things in life that can intimidate us and cause us to look for the nearest exit, cause us to pull back. And Satan will make sure that you get a constant stream of intimidation in your life. And so if you want to stop the intimidation, God has to be bigger than anything else in your life. Amen. God has got to be bigger than anything else in your life. You see those things that you face in your life, those challenges, whatever you have. Listen, whether it's a challenge, it can be money. It doesn't matter what it is. Those areas in your life that are bigger than God is where you'll find you'll have stress. You'll find that you won't have peace, and you'll find that you won't have joy. And so instead of walking in the abundance and in the life that Jesus has given us, what are we doing? We're walking around under the intimidation of the roar of, what if I lose my job? What if I lose my child? What if I lose my spouse? What if this thing doesn't work out? And so on, so on. And we walk under the intimidation of whatever the roar may happen to be, simply because God's not bigger than that challenge or that money or that situation, whatever it happens to be in your life. And so if we're going to stop the intimidation, we've got to make God bigger than those things. Always looking over, always wondering when the axe is going to fall. That's not how God's called us to live. Amen. That's not supposed to be our posture, is looking for impending doom and the quick exit. Because as a child of God, we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. You see, our posture is different. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have concerns in life and that we don't have things that trouble us. But in those times of trouble and in those times of concerns, what we need to remember is that God truly is bigger than my past. God truly is bigger than my adversary. He's bigger than my debt. He's bigger than that child that's running from God. He's bigger than the doctor's report. And guess what? He is in you, and he is for you. He is not against you, and he will not fail you. God is faithful, but you got to make him bigger than those challenges in your life. God and his word is so much easier to hear when he's the biggest thing in your life. So keep him big. Amen. So we need to stop the intimidation. Secondly, look at verse number 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. We've got to stop the noise. If we're going to hear God, there's going to have to be moments in our day when we simply stop all the noise. How do we do that? We shut everything out and make God the loudest thing speaking to us in that moment. God has to be louder than the other voices, than the other challenges, than the roar of the lion. God has to be louder than everything else that we're listening to. How do I do that? Well, in that particular moment, we need to just stop and acknowledge God. Let me tell you how you acknowledge God. In that moment, we stop and we acknowledge our dependence upon God for everything, for everything. Because you see, here's the deal. Yes, we are a conqueror, but it's through Jesus Christ. We have victory over Satan, but it's through Jesus Christ. This thing isn't going to take us out because we're in Christ. So He is the key to our success in shutting out all the other noise. And so what we have to do, we have to acknowledge our dependence upon God. And because we take the time to acknowledge Him, things are put back into their proper place. Because, yeah, we can probably still hear the roar of the lion, but what becomes louder in those moments is the word of God. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I am your strong tower. The righteous run into me, and they are safe. The doctor says this, but the word says, I am healed. What we have to do is we have to make God's voice louder than anything else. And so we do that by acknowledging our dependence upon Him. And we do so in that moment and we say, Lord, I need You. And so would You help me? Show me what to do. Speak to me Your word. Give me something to stand on. And then as He speaks to you, we listen and we follow. Sometimes we can have this propensity, if you will, to narrow our focus to hearing God only in times of trouble or only when we need direction, only when there's something challenging us. But can I tell you, God is speaking to us way more than that. God is speaking to us in so many other times than just when we're in trouble. I got a question for you. Have you ever missed a speed limit sign and had to pay the price? I know I have. I'm just going along. I'm not paying attention to nothing. But there's that sign, bright and beautiful, and I drive right on by, and guess what? For you know it, there's some lights that I have to submit to. They're blue. It's a pretty blue. And I invest in our road systems and police and all that. You know what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm saying, right? But here's the deal. A speed limit sign isn't telling me to go left or to go right. A speed limit sign just tells me what the safe speed is that I should follow after as I'm going through this particular portion of road. That's all the speed limit does. Sometimes in life, because a major decision doesn't necessarily need to be made, we can miss seeds. Road signs as we're going down through life because we're just going on. It's not that we're purposely not paying attention, but we're just going and we're just focused and we're focused on where we're headed, not what's around us. And we miss seeds that God wants to plant in the soil of our heart that will help us down the road. I remember many years ago, we used to, with Mom and Dad, we worked at a motel for the summer. And so because Mom and Dad ran it, we were there. It's like 75 miles from where we all lived. And so they had a place on property where we could stay. So we'd stay the summer. You know, we get there usually the end of April, 1st of May, because the motel would open up sometime in the middle of May. And then we would go through till mid-October. That was the season. Then we'd shut it down and we'd go home. So, but we lived on property. So I remember that Kelly had come time for her to go into kindergarten. So they had a little school just up around the corner from where we lived. And so the plan was, because we would be there till almost November, she would start there. And then when we moved back home, we would transfer her. And she would go, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, she's in kindergarten. You know, she's five. Well, you know, what's the big deal? It'll be okay. But I have since then grown to understand how my daughter works. So we go through the summer. We get her enrolled in school. She starts school. I'm talking there again, his five-year-old. I should have got a picture of it. She was just as pretty as she is today, but she was just that tall. And so I remember we was closing the motel, and Jill had gone to pick her up from school. And at that time, there's a lot happening. You know, there's a lot of transition. There's a lot of things to do, and we've got a certain amount of time to get it done. And so I had come up, and Jill and Mom was standing there. Kelly was there. I remember it like it was yesterday, and Kelly's crying. And so I walked up, and I'm thinking she's giving Jill a hard time, which sometimes she did. So my first reaction was, I looked at her and I said, you need to smarten up and you need to listen to what your mom says. We got a lot to do and we don't have time for this. So smarten up. Just about that time, Mama Bear gave me a look like I knew in the moment I had just done something wrong. And it was amazing at how fast all that happened. Immediately she let me know that our daughter, who is faithful to the core, and who plugs in 100% into everything that she does, spirit, soul, and body, was crying because she didn't want to leave her new school and her new friends. What a schmuck. One of the biggest regrets I have in my life was that day when I didn't read the sign. Where I just was going and I was so focused on what I was doing, and I realized what had happened after Jill had shown me what was the real situation. And so I apologized and I tried to comfort Kelly. But here's the question that I struggle with today is, how much more meaningful could that moment have been in my life and in Kelly's life if I would have just stopped and read the signs? If I'd have just stopped in that moment and read the signs. And that's exactly what I'm talking about when I say that there's times in life where we have to shut the noise off and make God louder in our lives than anything else that is speaking. So maybe this week or maybe next week or sometime you find yourself in a traffic jam, which happens around here. Or maybe you're waiting in a doctor's office somewhere for an hour and a half waiting to get in. Well, in that moment, you have a choice. If you're in the traffic jam, you can turn the radio on. If you're in the doctor's office, you can get on your phone and check out the latest news and all this and that and the other stuff. You can sit there and you can wonder, how long is it going to take for this doctor to get me in there? What's he going to say? What's she going to say? What kind of a prognosis? I mean, we can do all kinds of things in those moments. Or in that moment, we can stop and acknowledge God and we can say, Lord, in this particular situation that I'm in, is there anything that you can speak to me right now? Is there a seed you're trying to sow into my heart right now? But I'm missing the sign because I'm focused on where I'm headed, not where I'm at. You'll be amazed at the amount of truth God will give you and is trying to get to you in those moments. If we'll just stop, acknowledge Him, and make Him louder than everything else that's going on in that moment in our lives. Finally, today, look at verse 7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. So to hear God's voice, we need to stop pretending. Now, there's a lot of things that people pretend to be and to do. But what I'm talking about today specifically is pretending to know. Pretending to know. Now, there again, there's extreme versions of this, and we call them know-it-alls. You ever met somebody that's a know-it-all? Yeah. They called that because it doesn't matter what the subject may be. First of all, they know everything about it. Secondly, they can talk for hours and hours about that subject. And number three, no matter what, they are always right. Know-it-alls. I'm grateful that most aren't know-it-alls, but I think if we was to be honest with each other and if we took an honest evaluation of our day-to-day journey, that we would have to admit that there's areas in our lives where we pretend to know, but we really don't. There again, what are we talking about? We're talking about being good soil in all areas of our lives. Good soil. And so there's places in our heart where we pretend to know, but we really don't. And so what happens is when we pretend, we automatically default to our own intellect and our own way of doing things. And when we do that, in essence, what's happening is in that area of our heart, that area of our life, we're compacting the soil so much so that it is so rocky, it is so thorny, that we literally come to the point to where we can't receive God's word in that particular area of our life that will help us to grow. Ultimately, if we're not careful, because we pretend for so long, we actually create a false narrative in that area of our lives that results in a mindset to where we won't even entertain the possibility that there's a different way to do what we're already doing. Even if we don't know the way ourselves, there's not a different way. I'm convinced in my experience, that's the reason why I found that some of the hardest people to help in life are those who think they know, but don't. They think they have the answer, but they really don't, because they've been tricked into believing something else. So in our day-to-day journey, God has to be wiser. Now, that might sound like something weird to say, and even weirder to hear, because we all know that God is wise. He knows everything, right? I mean, we get that. But I think we know that. There again, I'm talking about not in every area of our lives. And it's interesting at how complicated we can be sometimes. Because we have the truth in this area, but we're not sure here. And so we're good soil here, but here we're not receiving it. We're not hearing it. We're not stopping and listening, acknowledging God in that particular area of our lives. And so while that might sound weird, and we know that God is wise and that He knows everything, but we know it in certain areas of our lives on an intellectual basis, but not by faith. And there's a big difference. So when we come to walk out those difficult times, those challenges in life, those things that we're not sure about, it's easier to default to our way than to submit to God and trust Him in His way. Because in that area, it doesn't make sense. Because we're only thinking about it intellectually. We're not receiving the truth by faith that He's trying to plant in the soil of our heart. What happens? Hard soil. Compacted. Seed doesn't have a chance to even get in and penetrate, let alone grow, flourish, give us harvest in that area of our lives. So it's in those times we have to know by faith what we don't understand with our mind. And that is that God is wiser than me. That God is wiser than my sense of direction right now. That God is wiser than my sense of perception right now in this moment. And so I'm not going to lean on or trust in my understanding, but I'm going to stop and acknowledge God, and I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to move forward. I know that could be extremely difficult, especially when the ground has been made so hard because we travel it so often. It's almost like it's our safe place. As tough as it is to have those areas in your life and in my life broken up, the cost of rocky soil is far greater than the cost of a few moments of the rototiller of God's truth, digging down in and releasing all of the hurt and releasing all of the stress that comes with it and releasing the normalcy of walking with a limp in our lives. So even though it's extremely difficult, if we do, those places get broken up, become good soil. So this week, as we're journeying through life, can I tell you, don't be intimidated by the roar of the lion, because God is bigger than anything that you're going to face, regardless of what it may be, regardless of how much bigger it is than you, it's not bigger than God. Can I tell you to stop and to shut off the roar and to shut off the noise, to shut off all of the other voices in your life and turn up the voice of God. Let Him be the loudest thing in your life, because He'll speak to you words that you can stand on, true words, that they are life and they are help and they are grace for you and they are mercy for you, and they will encourage you and help you to press on. And can I encourage you finally today to take the load that you're carrying and place it at God's feet. And with an honest heart, just honestly say, Lord, I really don't know. And I've been pretending. Would you help me? Would you sow into me? Would you break up that part of my heart that's hard? And would you help me to trust you and to step out in faith?
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.